What's up, family? Welcome back to the One Piece Manga Bros podcast, a sometimes bi-weekly podcast where we get together and talk about arcs of One Piece, and sometimes those arcs can be a little long, like today's episode, Skypiea, which was 66 chapters, so we're going to be talking about the first half, and then you're going to see the second half in a future episode, but we're recording it all now. It's going to be a doozy. I'm here with my co-hosts.
I'm Sean, or Boom.
I'm Eric. Hi. Hello. Nice to see you. Hear you.
That's you did good. I'm Ruff.
I tried.
And our guest, Alonzi.
Hi.
Alonzi.
I'm Alex or Alonzi. I thought we might as well just do the thing.
Heck yeah, dude.
See?
Hell yeah. We did it. We did it.
So we have a lot to talk about, but before we get into that, we're going to be covering chapters 237 to, don't know, I will implement that at some point halfway through. 33, it's what, 66 chapters? 33 chapters in.
Yeah. It's Skypiea is long and girthy.
Yeah.
So it's a lot to take in.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot, which is why we're having to split it up. Is 43 episodes in the anime, which actually not that bad.
Not yeah, bad. I think the rap that it gets is worse than it actually is.
I agree.
To be fair, the Satori fight took like 12 of those episodes.
Hey, man. We're going to get into the Satori fight. But, dude, Skypiea, this was something else, man. It really, really was. Now, those of you who know, we cover this in a little bit of a format. We generally talk about the arc itself, and then we usually have a little post-show discussion where we talk about, kind of spoilers and open and available. Obviously, the first half of Skypiea, since we're recording this one go, will not have that. It'll be in the second episode, so stay tuned for that. And it will probably be a little bit shorter, but these episodes are probably going to be meatier, mostly because Alonzi is just at the tail end of Eddie's lobby, and obviously we don't want to spoil him beyond that. Now, we may get together, just the three of us, after we break off with Alonzi here and gush about some other stuff, potentially. It depends on if there's anything else, so you might get that. But, yeah, at least until Alonzi randomly vanishes off the screen and I explain why he randomly vanished off the screen, you're probably safe if you're up to at least Eddie's lobby. So, Skypiea.
For now.
Senor Boom, I want to hear from you.
See,
immediately, because you've been talking about the amount of notes that you've taken,
yes.
And I know we've had discussions of Skypiea, and I'm curious your thoughts. Right, we were all anime. Alonzi read the manga first. Have you watched the anime, Alonzi?
I've not watched the anime. No.
Okay.
No, I read it.
All right, so I'm excited. We have a lot of different thingamabobs.
I took 21 pages of notes.
Damn.
Now, to be fair,
holy crap.
Some of those are the manga panels on those pages, so it's a little bit of a cheat sheet, right? That way I actually had that. But, dude, compared to the anime, like, don't get me wrong, you know, the anime is like my favorite thing in the world.
Mm-hmm.
But compared to the anime, Skypiea is like so much better in the manga. Like, it's not even comparable.
I've always liked it.
Don't get me wrong. I love the anime. Yeah. Like, I love the anime arc.
No, I know that. But I'm saying, like, I always liked the anime. So I'm not like a Skypiea hater or anything.
Yeah.
I was absolutely blown away by the manga.
So here's the thing, right? So I, after the end of the last arc, people kept saying, get ready. It's a slog here. And almost put me in for this kind of like, fucking here we go kind of, before I'd even like read it. And then I think just like you said, but like you go into it and you're just like, it almost made it so much better that it became my favorite arc up to that point.
Yeah.
Because you're just like, this is so much better than everyone said. So you almost had that like surprised element that it was actually way better when you go in expecting dog shit.
Well,
when it wasn't.
I hate to like pull that card, but it's also, it's if you're a real One Piece fan, you've read or watched Skypiea, because when I started it reaction wise for the anime, so many people were like, yeah, skip Skypiea. Everybody said it wasn't that important.
So many.
It's wild.
It's weirdest insane. Divide, I think, in like the One Piece community as a whole, right? Like, there's obviously the arcs that people dislike, but Skypiea, and I don't know if I enjoyed it more because of coming back to it like with hindsight, but it is insane being, however far I'm into, 900 plus, and it's still relevant, and we're still having callbacks to Skypiea 900 plus episodes in.
It's mental. Even, it's more than relevant. It's game changing in its own Yeah. Yeah. Integral is the correct word to use there. It is almost a pivot point for the idea of lore in the show. But that's definitely that is a spoiler conversation, but it's
this is a hard arc to discuss without
spoilers. It is. Like, I'm
trying I'll just leave.
We'd have to do it for the episode anyways, but it's just just hard to put into words like how important and impactful it is.
Yeah.
And I dude,
without saying why.
Yeah, like, dude, seriously, if you have skipped it in any way, just go read
Please
the manga.
Go back.
Well, see, this thing is like, even just coming off of Eni's Lobby in Water 7, some of the stuff that happens in that arc, had you skip Skypiea, would be confusing as hell then as well, because there are like big moments, which we'll go into in this arc, where you're like, if you hadn't have any kind of note, you weren't told about this, especially with, I'm mainly alluding to Robin's part in this yes. as well. And then when you go into like later arcs, you would just be so confused as to how you can't skip Skypiea. I mean, the fact that there are Reddit articles saying, can I skip Skypiea? It's like, no, this isn't this and JoJo's part. You don't do it. You don't.
This may be even more. The arc is absolute chaos. I mean, like, if we start just with the arc opens up, right? They make it like they already were making their way up the damn thing in Jaya. So you like.
Right.
It starts with them on the Sky Island, like in these clouds.
I was going to say they technically have gotten there by the time the arc actually starts up.
So they come in and almost immediately Usopp almost dies. Like almost immediately Usopp is just like, "You know what? We're in the sky. I'm going to dive in there and swim." And if it wasn't for Robin, the brand new fucking person, the brand new Straw Hat,
the one that they didn't 100% trust yet.
The one that Zoro was not on board with, you know. Like,
I appreciate the irony and all of that, too. Like, usually Usopp is the one, you know, it's like don't want to leave the boat Idis or don't want to go onto the island Idis. And, like, this is the first time this man's like, I'm going to be the first one off the boat. Jumps in, almost immediately dies. Yep. So, that's a lot of the humor, like, early on that like I feel like One Piece doesn't have that as much anymore, kind of where we're at, and like I don't know, it was fun to go back and actually
like
see
the
that
naivety
happen.
Of it, right? Like it was one of those points where I feel like
how silly they were
after, you know, the adrenaline they just got from going up this, you know, 10,000 meter I think it was like 5.
Well, I mean, they also escaped too.
So the White Sea.
Well, that's right. They're being chased as well.
Being chased, and like an interesting thing about Fate again. They literally said like it's Fate that they made their getaway. Like it's so interesting how again Fate comes into play.
Just every arc,
dude. I feel like Fate, and especially in this, I think it's Belief, which is a big part of this one as well. Yeah. Because we'll go on to, but there's so many things that allude to like faith, belief, and in almost like a religious sense, almost, you know. Mm-hmm. And but yeah, like to come off being chased, going up the stream, and then just being like, I'm a swim, you know, like you kind of like the dude's got screws loose, you know, but we knew that.
Mm-hmm. I just love that he popped out the bottom. Like he literally was mid-fall as they caught him. Like, you fucking.
Could you imagine a worse fear though? Like you hit the end of
the cloud
water
pool.
Cloud and then boom, just air.
You're just the fact that he thought, I'll go swim after experiencing the fact that the ship fell out of the sky not too long beforehand. Yeah. So how would you not think that, like, you don't know you can go through that. Like, you want to be careful, dude.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I take that. So the White Sea is 23,000 feet in the air. So that'd be what, about 8,000 meters or something like that, roughly, or 7,000 meters or something.
Yeah, it's like it's just under 10K.
And the White Sea is 33,000 feet. Mm-hmm. So, like, there's literally, even between like the first level and the second level, there's 10,000 feet between them, which is
obscene.
A lot of feet if you didn't know.
That's big.
It is. The other thing I wanted to talk about, because like almost immediately after this, right, they get jumped, and Zoro, Sanji, and Luffy get their shit rocked immediately, and they, you know, we see the moment that has something to do with the air pressure is messing with them, but that never gets brought up again, and it made me question the entire arc. Were the three of them handicapped for this entire arc, or did they adapt?
It it kind of makes you wonder, but also, I mean, elevation sickness is a real thing. Like you see it when people start climbing Everest and stuff like that. And that's why they have like the base camps. That way you actively get acclimated to it. But I feel like out of anyone, Luffy would have the least problems since rubber.
Yeah.
Like it would be easier for everything to expand if it needed to and vice versa. So,
you know, I never thought about that actually. I never clocked that before. And it was interesting that it was just those three.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I think that was one of those maybe Oda actually looked at and was like, maybe this might be an idea. But then Skypiea just became so freaking big. He was like, no, maybe there's not room for that.
This is too much.
Yeah.
No, like, you need to do elevation.
They're fighting hard enough. We don't need a handicap to actually make it even tougher for them right now. Like, you know.
I mean, not to go too far in, but like Luffy was basically handicapped most of this arc.
Yeah.
I would say
he was lost. Like,
not to go too far into everything, but yeah, he was 100% handicapped for literally like 90% of the arc, dude.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll get into that.
But like, you think about like just how it opens up, right? It opens up. It's beautiful. Usopp almost dies. They get attacked immediately. Get saved by Gonfall.
The MVP, Gone by the way.
Right? Yeah. Like, get their shit rocked by Wiper, who we don't know the name of at that point yet.
Right.
And then, like, the Waver and Dials are introduced.
Dude, this was such a cool aspect, this new tech. I mean, we even see Nami going on to ride around, you know.
Immediately.
Yeah, and it's just so cool.
I'm sorry, before we get into that, I have to say... Before then, we meet the biggest bitch in all of One Piece.
Yo,
Amazon.
Facts.
I fucking hate her so much, dude. So easy. It could have been like, hey, if y'all don't pay like to get in, like it's technically you're breaking the law and like you're going to be in a lot of trouble.
And she was like, ah, fuck it.
He's like, nah, go ahead. It's cool.
And I feel like she was just retired. She's just working the gate as a retired person.
Everything kicks off because she sucks at her fucking job.
I mean, well, the question is, right? So something we learn a little bit later, right? Or maybe it was the first half, I don't remember. But, you know, the pirates that arrive or had arrived 20 years prior, right? Like, do you think that maybe she's just accepted that every time pirates show up, they're just like,
it's
fuck
possible,
you, I ain't paying, bitch.
Right.
Get out of my way.
I mean we've seen before where, like, the idea of pirate showing up is, like, immediately, what was it, Orange Island? Or whatever, you know, when the Straw Hats first got there, everybody was like closing up and stuff. So it's like, you know, big pass. So I guess, but still, I hate her. She sucks. Like,
it definitely would have been a very different arc.
A heads up would have been awesome. Thank you.
I mean, like, our main boy.
All right, we'll see.
But
at the same
time, it was
also
assumed that they came up the correct way, right? Like, besides talking
to
like the Sky Knight, like. They're literally they took the knockup stream, which that's why he gave him the whistle. He goes, I give you guys props for that. You know, y'all are crazy.
Yeah.
And like and that's why, like, in a way I kind of understand Amazon, because like thinking about like a kingdom, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where they arrived was basically the end of the entire like Milky Road.
Yeah.
Right? So ships have to have an island to shoot them up. So normally they wouldn't just take a knockup stream, which, you know, who's going to be crazy enough to take a knockup stream? Well, you know, Straw Hats with a winged
Luffy.
Boat. it does make you wonder, though. Like Amazon was pretty poor at her job, but at the same time, you're kind of guarding the, I don't know, I don't want to say the royal kingdom, but like the main capital, let's say. And it was already assumed that people would have already had money, because they even said that at one point. They're like, wait, you don't have any X-Dolls? Like, how did you get here without having any X-Dolls? And then they gave us the amount of how much that actually is in berries, which you're like, oh, it's only 700K, not 7 million per person. But
yeah, I felt like they were having a little bit of trouble with the math on that one. Like, it kept going back and forth where it's like, yeah, it's only like 7 million. No, it's 700 million. It's like 70 million. It's like, okay, now I'm going to have to sit down and do the math because you guys have me confused.
Well, because berries alone are already bananas. And then you take X-Tall and it makes even less sense. It's like, all right. We also find out that the Straw Hats are broke. They have 50K berries, which is like, I don't know what the equivalent of that is in dollars, but it's not great because I think berries is like similar to yen.
Yeah, so if it was 50K, that would be what, like 500? $500
Yeah,
dude, they're scraping for change. Yeah, for
like they're struggling.
It's like
101
like yen to dollar, I think.
For notorious pirates who are beating people with bounties of 80 million, you'd think they'd have some money, but
they need to just turn each other in, get the money, and then break each other out.
Yeah,
and then
just keep doing that over and over.
Yeah, like, true.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you got a big brain, the bounty, baby. Come on.
Yeah.
That's a hack right there. So.
But the dials are pretty crazy. Like, I wrote down, there's like a stupid amount of dials. So we have like the tone dials that can record someone or music, which is just dials are just a shellfish that live in the White Sea, which is like, that's kind of wild. Like, I wonder how they even get made. Wind dials that propel the wavers, and they're like, if you force winded to it for 30 minutes, you can blow in for 30, which I loved Luffy's use of it, where he's just like, like rapidly throws his arm, and it's like, oh, it works. The lamp dials, so they just straight up have electricity. And then the flame dials, scent dials, vision dials, which I guess are just like
night vision or glasses.
They archive pictures, so I'm like, so I guess it's just like a digital picture frame.
But you know what, I think the dials is a really intelligent move from Oda, because it kind of gives him so much freedom in this arc to introduce whatever he wants without having to worry about like,
it's,
you know,
it's
repercussions, you know, of how they got that or whatever.
It's your Deus Ex, right? Like, it's literally like, it's like Superman's powers, like whatever you kind of need to feel the hole right here, all of a sudden there's a dial for
and
it.
Yeah, so and they said,
how do they do that?
Because
you know,
they left it open. They're like, we got many more.
Science.
So it's like, hey, there's all these other ones we haven't even discussed, so he can implement them whenever the hell he wants.
Yeah.
Like, who knows, chapter 1502, he'll be like, there's a long lost dial that X person
a sacred
found
dial.
And,
you read ahead.
Oh my god!
There were some, although there were some interesting dials that they kind of like Oda kind of sprinkled in towards the end that like were ancient and supposedly no one has anymore, but yet, you know, the whole Upper Yard crew is rocking them. You know,
true. Also, kinda the cover stories. Because now we're finally, I don't know if you guys have noticed this, so like we're finally at the point, I know Alonzo, you've kind of done like anime and manga and you flip back and forth, but just so you know, going forward, if you do decide to watch anime, so this Skype is pretty much the arc where they stop, they stopped animating the side stories.
Yep.
So
right, yeah,
the stuff with Wapple, literally you don't find out about until 7. Not like hundreds of I don't even know the exact like arc area. It's like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of chapters.
I don't even know if I'm at where you find out about him.
Maybe
if I'm being honest,
I don't know.
If I am, I do not remember.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like,
but now I know because I read the cover story.
Yeah, and it's like he just went through this weird thing of like took over a town. Dalton becomes the king of the cherry blossom town. Like, there's so much stuff that I'm blown away that it was cut from the anime.
I'm very angry. Uh-oh, what happened?
I accidentally clicked the thing. All right, we're good. I clicked the thing and it like good? Was blocking your face.
Oh, okay. Like, I hate that it started making me like Wapple. And like,
it made you start to like him?
No, well, at least like feel bad for him, right? Because man ended up on hard times. Like, he started making toys. Like, he started, like, you know, he was building back honest. Like, he seemed like he was actually finding joy in like doing the toy stuff in the cover stories. And then like immediately just becomes a shitbag by the end of it.
Yeah,
again.
Then
so
he just became rich, married like some model, and was like, fuck you all, let's take over the world.
Yeah, and immediately became, so it's like, yeah, very much like, you know, I hold true to the idea of like money doesn't change who you are, it just shows who you are.
True.
And I was correct about him. He is a shit. I hate him.
Yeah, he sucks. He's arguably one of the worst in the arc, I think. Like, I think he's one of the worst people. Or at least damn close.
Well, as we go along, pushing forward a little bit, first off, I do want to say I still love, it was just as epic in the manga where the scene, Nami's riding the waver, and she runs over McKinley.
Yeah.
Like, it was just as funny and satisfying in the manga as it was in the anime, where it actually just like like her face along with like how his is smashed. Like, it's
like,
great.
I think most people hate Satori. I don't know. I'm actually curious. As somebody who hasn't watched the anime, what is your opinions on Satori?
I'd say I'm kind of 50-50.
His voice was obnoxious.
Comparatively, it was a quick fight in the manga. So
yeah, that too. So like, it, yeah, it's see, like that's definitive the thing amongst anime fans that like anime fans despise Satori.
So look up his voice when you get a chance, Alonzi, because it's like, oh, I can't do it.
And
he does the laugh. Yeah. He's like, whoa, 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 whoa.
And it's like that for episodes.
Yeah,
it's
not just one, but multiple. And it's just like, God, I cannot wait for this man to get clapped so we can move the hell on.
Yeah, it didn't like it was weird. Like he didn't bother me in this arc. The only characters that I legitimately were like, yo, these guys are dumb as hell, were the Berets. They were dumb and ridiculous in the anime, and they were just as dumb and ridiculous in the manga.
Yep.
You see, the thing is with Satori in the manga, I felt like, because I think that's one of the biggest points as where people point at with Skypiea, and they kind of, that's the flaw, right? They go, it's too long, you know, the annoying character. But I think when it's in the manga, I feel like the pacing is a lot quicker, and I feel like
it is more.
It's like, I don't know, how many episodes was that?
40 something.
Overall, no, I mean that section.
Oh, Satori.
Probably three or four. I want to say
it was
three
a chunk. It was a lot
ish.
We spent a lot of time.
I mean,
time
don't get wrong.
Him.
It was breaking apart like the other like parts of the story as well. But like they very much were. Yeah, they were very much focused on that fight between him and Luffy and Sanji and Usopp.
Yeah, and I felt like in the manga, I don't think it wasn't like significantly dialogue heavy either. I felt like it was a quick flip going through that. It was kind of like, You could smash through it if you wanted to, but I also think the art in that one was pretty cool. I think like maybe it would get a bit boring watching it, but like in a
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh no, go. You were basically to go.
He was like using the impact dials and stuff as well. Yeah. Right? Talking about dials earlier, like he's like one of the first ones to really show off. Like, I think was it Sanji or Usopp he got first? I think it was Sanji, right?
Yeah, like, Sanji was the first one to go down. Well, I think that was why. Like. That was, I think, the biggest part about this arc, that up until the end, the scale and the power was so much more intense than I feel like anything we had seen up until this point. Like, yes, like Crocodile was devastating and powerful and strong, right? We've seen strong people, but like showing up in Skypiea and the three strongest crew members, the captain who just literally is just off the high of defeating a warlord, and Zoro who just learned to cut steel in the arc prior, and then you know, Sanji's fight with Bon Clay, who is like a top officer, you know, number two, right behind, you know, Crocodile pretty much. They beat them and they persevered, but in here they get clapped immediately.
Yeah.
You know, the Satori obliterates Sanji almost immediately. And, you know, way earlier than that, when Nami runs off to, you know, ride the waver and finds the upper yard.
Yeah, the vassal's like fighting that guy.
I don't know if it was just me. It felt like a much larger scale attack than it felt in the anime when I watched it back when I originally watched it.
The anime did a good job of like doing like when it hit, like, you know, it was like a full flash kind of thing, and like it kind of enveloped everything.
Yeah.
But like, I think with the manga, right, like you do get like, you can take as much time as you want to really like just smoke over the panel and like sit there and like look at it. And it's like they draw Nami's eyes so well, like when they now, and it's like the idea of the shock of all of it. So I don't know, there is something like more satisfying in that regard, or like more epic, I feel like, in the manga comparatively.
Yeah.
And I also think that with you know how you talk about them getting smoked instantly, I felt like, unlike other places that they've gone to, this was so alien to them with the new technology as well. I felt like that was such a huge factor in them just getting completely, they had no footing where sometimes, you know, you could rely on your strength or whatever it was. Now you're like, we've got impact dials. How, like, just the way that you can get using them, how creative that some of these people are using these dials, they don't even know what to expect. So to see them get like that, I felt like they were in such an alien world at that point that it was like, that was almost kind of like a handicap in a way, I think.
Yeah.
Well, you talk about Alien World, like they were immediately handicapped in the idea of the way they were separated. Like Connus, you know, turned them in, and the God Lobster carried off Nami and Zoro and everything. But I still like, it's still one of my favorite things in all of One Piece, and it still kind of carries true now, where it's like Luffy has so much trust in each of them, where it's like Sanji's like, or you know, what the hell do we do? And you know, Luffy's like, it's gonna be all right. Zoro's with him. Like, he's you know, he's not even worried about anything, right? Like the fact that Zoro will be there to protect them. Like there's like, we'll just meet up later. It's gonna be fine.
Well, that's
like,
the thing. We'll up to this point, it's always worked out. You know, so he's kind of like, you know what? We proved this is good. You know, that's the kind of blind thing. Rather than being like, oh, this is scary, new place, we don't know what's going on or anything like this, it's kind of the other way. He sees it as like a glass kind of half full kind of way, rather than being intimidated, which is one of Luffy's biggest assets and why he's so strong. Because people might say that he's like blind or dumb or whatever, but I actually think it's the opposite, and one of his biggest strengths, I think, in this.
Right. Well, it's these are like the first signs too of like, this is a dictatorship, more or less, right? Like, right. Like a character that has been nothing but kind to us, and right out the gate, like, and it's a beautiful island, it's a beautiful like setting. And immediately, like, it's kind of like comply or die, right? Because the Berets kept like making up these laws that they were breaking. And you know, even like McKinley, like in his own weird way, he was kind of like, hey, just pay the fine. It'll be okay if you just pay the fine. And it just kind of like kept escalating. Well, 'cause
they know, right? Like, like when Nami sees it, it's not just that he like, it was a showcase of Kami's power. It's like he used that level of power to kill one single dude who was trying to leave, like was like, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have come here, I fucked up. Oops. I'm leaving. And it was just like that much for one fucking person.
Did you guys notice the foreshadowing with Pierre?
What
when they first introduced Pierre, like the thing that the Sky Knight rides on,
yeah,
the bird.
Yeah, I know Pierre.
Did you notice the foreshadowing they did with him though?
What foreshadowing?
With so to me, I don't know if you guys noticed it, but when they first introduced Pierre and he transformed into a Pegasus, it was a black silhouette for one panel. And the next panel, it showed him being polka dots.
Yes.
And everything like was just not looking like a Pegasus. To me, that was foreshadowing that things aren't exactly as they seem here.
That you could make that case.
I could see that.
I also really like the fact that you've obviously got this like angelic background, this entire thing, but then you've got, like you said, that dictatorship, that kind of thing about it. So it's like the complete opposite of how it looks. At first you go there, you go, I'm in heaven almost, you know.
Well, I mean, even the last arc, right? Like when they first see the shadows of the Skypean people, like, you know, showcasing down below, and it's like, oh my God, there's giants. It's like, no, it's just fucking Sky people.
Yeah.
You weren't ready for that. Also, did you guys
see Prism Stones, boys?
Yes, right? Came back for the first time since...
Wow.
Loguetown, I think.
Yeah.
I think that's way later, though. That's like final fight stuff.
No, this is in the beginning. They're walking up to the palace. Like Luffy first meets them, he tells them how the clouds are made, and it's via sea prism stones and volcanic eruptions.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Dude, like, that was such an interesting world building like stat to me. I'm like, wow.
Nice little
like,
touch, yeah.
Like that's so interesting that one, volcanic eruptions are tied to sea prism stones.
Mm-hmm.
Like in a weird way. Okay. Uh oh.
Don't worry, we'll be fixed in a few seconds. Yeah, we're good.
But it makes me wonder though, if Devil Fruit users are near volcanoes, does that mean that they're more susceptible then? But then
maybe
work is another weird, right? If the sea prism stones are one of the ingredients to make clouds in that world, wouldn't that make anyone who stands on one of those clouds susceptible?
Certain clouds.
Then?
No, so it is. So when they drown in the sea clouds, they do lose all their powers, right? It happens to Luffy. He almost dies. But the ground ones, I guess, are made differently because they don't have an issue. Or maybe it's just because they're not submerged, or maybe it's like not enough sea prism stone that like being submerged. I don't know.
They touched on it and then they kind of moved on, and I was like, bastards, because that's when Luffy and Usopp like made a joke like, we totally messed
with
this.
There was a lot of random little things that happened during that thing. Like, right, it's at this moment, you're just kind of meeting, what is it, Koni and, how do I pronounce his name? Pagaya? And
I think it's Pagaya. Yeah.
Like, so that happens, which I completely forgot. Thank you for bringing that up. But then there was something I wrote down that Usopp was said. You know, he was doing his typical bragging stuff.
Oh, but he's rummaging through.
He specifically says something, and don't worry, we won't talk about it beyond this, but he says, without me, the ship wouldn't sail. And I thought Captain that was Usopp. Interesting, Mr. Captain Usopp. Especially because we see, like, you know, he's 100% right. Right? The Mary is getting absolutely battered and wrecked up until this point. Especially after going up the freaking
knock-up stream.
Yeah. Like, you know it's damaged and hurt, and I don't know.
But that could also, you would think, if you're not looking into it, that could be a throwaway Usopp line, you know? Because you know what he's like.
I mean, technically, all his lines are throwaways, but that's the thing. Some of the most important things in the entire freaking show. So,
like, but that's right the beauty of it.
Says it, too.
Because it's like hidden in plain sight, because you go, like, you might just gloss over that, like, it's Usopp.
Yeah, Usopp. So then you're like,
yeah, and I think that's the beauty, because I feel like Oda's self-aware enough to know that he's tricking that kind of... It's like a tease, right? In plain sight.
And then, like, right after he says that, too, is when they get kidnapped. So, like, the Express Lobster kidnaps the three of them. It's immediately pretty much after he says that. And, of course, Sanji's only concern is that Nami put a shirt on. He's, like, in an absolute panic. Not that they were kidnapped, that she's wearing a shirt.
He is nothing if not consistent. So, you know, it's... Just and never have to worry about that man changing on you.
Yeah. And I have to say, this next like part where Sanji, Luffy, and Usopp kind of walk out with Konis, I think I wish we got more Sanji, Usopp, Luffy like moments, like the three of them, because their moment, like when Luffy finally catches on that's not everything is as it seems, like something isn't right. Konis is shaking. She's acting weird. Yeah. He calls her out on it, right? And she admits it. Like, Sanji, Luffy, and Usopp all immediately in unison, which is so out of character for Usopp. Freak out, like, why did you tell us? Are you dumb? Why didn't you just fucking let us go off to die? What's wrong with you? And I don't know. I got a lot of respect for Usopp from that, because I feel like we really haven't seen that side of him much at this point in the story.
Despite other things in other arcs, like, it is one of those things that, like, 9 times out of 10, Usopp will show up and be heroic or brave when he actually needs to be. And so, like, I do love in that same, like, vein, like, they're all the same person, right? Like, they are more interested in protecting others as opposed to protecting themselves, because they seem like they have enough confidence and assume that, like, they're going to help each other overcome, like, whatever it is they actually need to fight. You know, once it goes back to, like, you know, Luffy's trust in Zoro being like, nah, like, no, they're all right. Like, Zoro's there. Who cares?
And then we see, like, literally how far Enel's willing to go, or Eneru, right? Immediately trying to kill her for admitting it to them. And gone for coming back.
Dude, the that's king, my guy baby. Right there. The one true call me baby.
I love him, right? And that's when we learn it of like that thing of like, oh shit, like he used to be God. Okay,
but there's that faith thing, that's that belief thing again, you know. I felt like it ties into this series so much. There are so many different like moments where like there are things like even the knockup stream itself is a sense of belief and faith, you know, like trust me, you'll be fine getting up there. You know, I don't know if we're calling him Eneru or Enel, you know,
whatever you want.
I think
in
the manga it's Eneru. But that godlike Kami status is also like kind of putting in that, you know, his vassals, you know, even the name, you know, and, you know, the belief in a certain place in the Sky Island, which we'll go on to, you know, it's just like, it's this belief system almost like, it's like you said, it's a godlike thing, you know?
Yeah.
It's interesting how the Straw Hats again find themselves in another, like basically uprising. In a weird way, they managed to just sign up, kind of wedge their way in.
Almost like
they're just trying to get their own goals. But because I'm trying to remember the story that he tells, right? When he's on the ship and he's telling them he used to be God, right? Does he actually go into the backstory and everything? This is where, like, if I'm not mistaken, my opinion of him kind of changed a lot. Because this is where they talked about how they oppressed the Shandivians.
Right? Shandians.
I think this is where he tells that they've been oppressing them, right?
I'm not sure if it's revealed then and there.
I can't remember whether it was there or whenever.
It's almost very like very coincidental. We're over Thanksgiving weekend. We were talking about a story that very much has an oppressed people being forced off their land.
I didn't even really think about that. Yeah, this will be going out like the week after Thanksgiving because we need my editor needs more time to take care of it. But yeah, I guess I didn't even really think about that. We really did read this shit. Like,
yeah, it's definitely one of those things. Like, that's one of the issues I take with in this story where it's like, I like Gone Four, and I see what you're saying, Sione, but it's also like he's actively saying like, no, this land's important to these people that randomly showed up 400 years ago. So like, yeah, you can't have it back, even though technically you were the people that were originally on it and we forced off of.
Yeah, it is odd too. And you're just like, it's like, yo, you have
what?
All of these clouds to work
with.
Yeah,
you have
because this is ground. You're like, no,
you can literally build more. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, and that's one thing that kind of like changed my perspective on like, okay, whose side are we actually rooting for? Like, yes, Enru's bad. Don't get me wrong. Right. But now we're also helping people who have oppressed literally the natives of this land for over 400 years.
I mean, this arc is 100%. I mean, Oda was 100% like, hey, America. I mean, 400 years.
Even as a British
that
dude,
was a coincidence too. Come on.
Even as a British dude, I feel weird talking on this. We did our bit, you know.
What do you think we learned it from?
Yeah.
It's one of those things too. Like, I remember talking about this when I was first reacting to it, and I was like, "Yeah, this has Mesoamerica, like Maya, Aztec," and everybody's like,
yep.
"Typical American making it about yourself." I'm like, the architecture is the fucking same as Mayan and like Aztec.
Dude, the way the Shandians even appear, their appearance, you know, is very reminiscent of it.
I mean, dude, it's not the first time he's done this either, right? It happens in much later arcs where he built like stories in. Like
he takes inspiration from real life things from around the world, not just like Japan.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. He a reader. He's a knowledge maker.
Yo,
he's a mind blower.
He was an erudite man. So it's
so ironically, right? So I wrote two things down. I can't talk about them, but there's
well, I'm glad you get to enjoy it, man.
So there's like
I got a bunch of shit I can say none.
So I'll explain why. So there's things about the arc, right? Two specific things. That are almost seem like either a foreshadowing of things to come or a direct relationship to one another. And one of those things I can talk to Boom and Sione about, but I can't talk to you about it.
Guys. There's
nothing. However, another one of them I can't talk to them about.
Well, fuck you then.
And it's just weird.
So we're gonna have
doesn't this just sum up One Piece fans in general? Like the community in general is like, we can't talk to each other.
They know what I'm. They know what I'm talking about.
One with three of us, and one with just rough. Just like tears on a wedding cake. It just gets smaller as it goes up.
To be specific, without like giving anything, it's Mantra. And
I'm glad you mentioned that. That way I didn't accidentally
Mantra
say something.
And Impact Dials.
Yep.
Those are the two.
Well, Mantra is introduced in this arc, right?
Which one?
Yes.
Mantra, yes.
Sorry, my British way says it fucking really crudely. Mantra. But
people are gonna be more pleased with the way you say it than
I mean, we'll see. I don't know. But but that was a really interesting concept because it's like you would think just one of those factors is huge, but then you put that with the dials as well and everything like that. Yes, it's a long arc, but there is so much that is brought to the table as a result of it that it kind of makes it worth it, you know?
Yeah.
There's a lot to take in considering that there is a lot, obviously, but yeah. Mm-hmm.
You also learned that, like, Gone Four has seen some shit, right? Like, this is kind of around the point that he mentions that, you know, knowing the pirates from 20 years ago, and he starts talking.
Dude is
about
that Vietnam vet. That's what he is, man. Like that's that guy.
And I can't remember the details. I think they specifically mentioned who it is, but I think that's in the latter half. I'm pretty sure. I think they just mentioned pirates in the first half, so I'll save that for later.
Yes.
But like you were saying, they get kidnapped. They all ditch poor little Chopper, leave him on his lonesome. On the Temple of Death, which I will say, Zoro just diving into the sea clouds and just absolutely like slaughtering those sea sharks. I'm just being like, there's a lot. Let's just jump over it, maybe.
I Zoro very much has I feel like a shot clock on bullshit.
Yeah,
like it just gets to the point where he was like, okay, I've witnessed enough. I'm just going to start swinging.
Yeah.
And we're just going to see how it goes from there. And then if I have to, I'll just swing harder. Mm-hmm. Because that's like, even when they were getting carried away by the lobster, right? And Nami's praying and he's like, I don't pray to the Kami.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't owe him shit.
You got to remember, just off the back of Alabasta, you know, homie learned how to cut steel. At that point, his confidence is pretty fucking high as well.
Yeah, true.
Good point.
So he's just like, fuck it, this is nothing.
Like, yeah. Kami didn't help me cut steel. I did.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah,
he said my mantra thick right now. So,
and then we have the Shura arrives. We get Satori, we get Shura, mm-hmm. we start to see like the strength and levels of Kami's followers, who are pretty freaking strong. When especially with their damn dials, which we kind of learn, as the arc progresses, how it works. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like something that can be used as simple as like, yo, this heats up our food. It will also stab you and burn your insides from within. So, that's
very quick weaponization of the items.
But this is what I was alluding to earlier on. Like, they tell you about these dials and you've got people like Luffy and, the gang, they think they know what they've been told what these are, but it's how you use them. And that's what makes these people so fucking dangerous, because they're just like, we fuck with these. You've just been told about them. We use them in ways you can't comprehend, and that's your handicap there. So, like you say, it's just like, what one man's fire is another man's weapon, So it was that was really cool. And that's why I felt like when you were introduced to these kind of like henchmen, these villains, you're just like, I felt like even in Alabasta there were a lot of strong people, but this was like, fucking hell, like these guys are kind of legit,
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, Satori was like, he gave Luffy a run for his money. Like, those dials were, like, doing some serious work. And, I mean, Usopp, too. You know what I mean? Like, Usopp took one of those to the face. Like, they all took an impact dial. And it's like, and they're like, oh, this will kill a normal person. And, Luffy getting up immediately after, not surprising. Sanji, not surprising. Usopp, I was like, damn. I mean? Like, we learned he was durable in Alabasta.
But he woke up and was like, I didn't hear no bell.
He's a durable boy, dude. He is a durable boy for as not powerful as he is.
I mean, to be fair, in Skype, no one's heard of Bell for a really long time.
Shura sets the ship ablaze. So back to what it was.
Oh, man.
The Merry getting absolutely ripped to shreds.
Chopper and Merry both taking beatings later.
Dude,
so.
For real. Like, Chopper did, he tried so hard.
That was so
He's
hard
such
to
a
read,
good
dude.
Boy.
Like, seeing that beating from Chopper right there and just doing everything he could. That was so hard to read.
Well, think about it, too. He's still so new, right? Like, he's still a fairly new Straw Hat.
So you guys obviously have seen it in the anime as well. What was worse? How did it come across worse, in the manga or the anime?
Anime for me.
I feel like anything
because you actually
has...
had to hear the voice actor being in.
Oh no, that cute. No,
yeah,
no,
anything, that's any rough. Type of severe emotion, I feel like I have preferred in the anime, but general story stuff, I think I've preferred. Even some
manga,
fights I've preferred in the manga.
The fights I've preferred in the manga, actually.
Most of these fights, a lot of fights that happen in this arc, I actually would have preferred in the anime.
Which ones?
Like, I just, to me, it felt like it was tough to follow a lot of fights because too much was happening at once.
I feel like that's
color
when
does
like,
help with that.
I mean, maybe that's what it was.
I'm going to get cooked for this, but I think that's like early on, I feel like, especially like it's gotten better, I feel like, but like Oda puts so much detail into everything,
it almost is
that
too
like
much
for
times.
Someone like me, like
too much
sometimes. I'll get lost in the forest because of all the trees, and so it's like watching a Transformers movie, right? Like, it's so big, there's so much going on, and you're kind of like, okay, like I gotta find a focal point and like expand from there to really take it all in.
Yep.
Where in the anime, like, it kind of is like, hey, pay attention to this first, right? It's like jingling the keys for me. And it's a really
especially
good
that Satori fight
have.
That Satori fight, there is a lot happening because there's so much going on,
the fucking milky things,
trees, and you're looking at the path that they're taking whilst they're going. There's just a lot to take in, so it's like you can, like you said, you can gloss over it and really get into detail, but like a lot, that's also time consuming in itself. But yeah, I always do wonder, like, sometimes, but then if it's four episodes long, That's, you got to weigh up which one you, which one, how you prefer. Really,
the Satori fight, I actually like all the Skypiea fights so far in the manga more. Like, because I feel like, now, like I said, the Chopper stuff, like, emotionally way heavier in the anime because you have to deal with, like, you know, Chopper's VA, like, you know, being in pain, like, especially like when he like lifts the mast or whatever and like swings it to like put the fire out, like if I remember right, like they kind of screamed when they did it because it was on fire, right, and it was burning them while they were doing it, it was a brutal scene. That was a real tough moment, like, and it was a little easier in the manga, but I don't know, like, the Shura fight especially, I think was, Satori fight was still pretty cool overall, like, in the manga, but like the Shura fight I thought was way neater in the manga.
Yeah, I could agree there. And I'm trying to think of, like, directly after. I don't want to, like, jump too far ahead. But then
there's
again,
so much that happened. Like, I'm trying to look at my notes, that's the thing, right?
Like, so we have the Satori fight, which was brutal, right? The Straw Hats got absolutely annihilated. Luffy, obviously, eventually manages to figure it out. Hot why? Motherfucking instinct, baby. Which is, like, also a big proponent of how he wins most of his things, which is ironic because he gets eaten by a fucking snake and is lost for pretty much till the end of the arc.
9,000 years, But he's, I actually quite like that, that, because I feel like it gives the rest of the gang a real time to shine. And a big focus on that, because it's kind of like Luffy's not going to come and pick you out or save you. It's kind of like everyone's just kind of really digging deep, and I actually really appreciate that. And also, it was because they focus on a lot of story of a lot of the characters around them. The Shandians, like, I don't know if like Wiper comes up at that point, or, you know, a lot of those, it kind of just kind of alleviates that. It's kind of like, that's there, we can come back to it whenever we want.
And if I'm remembering correctly, and you have like a lot of notes, Boom, so maybe you can confirm for me or not. So if I'm not mistaken, obviously the him getting eaten happens a little later, but after Chopper, you know, kind of saves the Mary from certain death, you know, they all eventually come back and, you know, they all are there. They're chilling. They leave.
The Usopp Chopper conversation.
Yeah,
dude.
Like, Luffy has now returned and they.
Well, before we kind of get into that, like, Zoro, Nami, and Robin all find the landmass that the knockup stream actually.
Yes, they find the reveal that it was once Jaya, which is obviously.
Yeah, because it's like the other half of Cricket's house.
Was that the map scene?
Yeah, I think that's the map scene.
Do you know what? That blew my mind because, like, it was almost so obvious once you had that reveal. You're like, well, fucking duh. But the way it was written, I was like, I genuinely didn't clock that. I didn't think that. But then when you come put it together, you're like, it's so obvious, you know?
Well, I mean, I love that. You know, half a house with a facade in One Piece, like, didn't seem so weird because it's One Piece. And you're just like, oh, silly character. And then, like, you get up there and then they discover the other half of the house and like it's the reveal of, like, oh my god, like,
yeah,
like, this was Jaya, like, this this was all a part, like, holy crap.
Was this also the point where we found out what, where we found out the exiling of the ship, where they find, where you can, you were able to connect the dot to the ship that fell on them?
They found out that,
if I'm not mistaken, that's when they found out that that's exiling the ship. They're getting exiled because of this.
Yeah, they would fall. It was basically like, hey, if you could escape, have fun. Guess what's going to happen? You'd fuck.
And you're exiled in a cloud, and then you immediately go, oh my god, that's why that
shit's like, like, Satori explained that to him. Like, if you get through these trials, like, by all means, you are free to go. Like, you know, it's, but, you know, 10% make it through. Good luck.
Because I'm thinking, like, if I'm not mistaken, obviously, you know, Gonfall shows up to save Chopper, and he takes a fucking beating too.
Shura,
I'm trying to remember. I don't believe Shura gets defeated here, unless he does. No. So it's Satori at this point is the only one that's been taken down, I believe, up until this point. And then they, you know, they all kind of meet back up, and we have that one scene that just felt so piratey, because it was like, hey, you know, we defeated the one dude, we completed the trial, like, hey, you know, we'll fix the ship, we'll figure this out, we got this, let's go get that gold. And they have that party of, like, partying with all the animals in the forest and, like, the dancing wolves. And it's just, dude, it's such a fun scene, because I feel like it's just adventure. Like, it's just One Piece personified almost.
And that's Robin right there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This goes into like a big theory I have later on with some of the other stuff I've thought before, but like we'll save that for the spoiler talk. I think Alonzi can be a part of that as well, like, because it's okay. Just it is straight up a theory. Do you guys know what Pascal's wager is?
That sounds really familiar, but no.
Yeah, it sounds familiar. So
it's the idea of believing in God and just on the off chance there is a God, right? Like, right. It's easier to believe in God than not believe in God in the percentage-based idea that, like, God may or may not exist. Why not cover your bases? And I feel like I do really enjoy the idea that, like, Nami leaned really hard into that because, this like, arc, every chance she had, she was praying to him.
Yep.
And like, I don't know. I just thought it was funny. Like, out of everyone that you would kind of assume wouldn't, Nami was the one actually you know, covering her ass, just being like, yo, if you're up there, Superman, like, please help me.
But then it doesn't surprise me because she's quite, like, I feel like she's kind of savvy like that. Yeah. She's like, well, just in case. But at the same time, charisma. You think she... Yeah. So
well,
it's,
you could actually die, too, right? Like, a lot of the Straw Hats, I feel like, are not really afraid to die. You know?
Yeah.
Like, Zoro, Sanji, Luffy.
Like, she got money to spend, bro.
Huh?
That's true.
I said she got money to spend in her life. Like, she ain't ready to go.
But also, I feel like a lot of that stems from seeing what happened with Belmere as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I feel like that would be a big shock, whereas we've not really seen the others experience that kind of thing that close to them. So I feel like Nami is really good at kind of projecting the opposite, but really deep. So there's moments like that when you see underneath...
Which it is kind of surprising seeing, like, Belmare did not bend the knee, and she gets killed, and Nami's like, I'm taking the knee.
Yeah, like, she's like, maybe that's
the lesson learned, though.
Yeah, you know? Right.
I don't know.
Also, Kami or Kami-sama is just, like, a literal direct translation to, like, God in Japanese.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Name your gear.
So, like, when they say, like, Kami and Niru, like, Kami gone for, it's literally saying God gone for God and Niru.
And then, we have the mystery person.
Oh, man.
The mystery person who Usopp saw that clearly was real because the Mary was fixed. And not just fixed, brought back to original.
Dude, after just finishing Annie's lobby, dude, I love that Sky P is like, it doesn't stay in the past, you know? Like you guys are saying, like, it's way more relevant when you guys are, but...
I would say Skypiea pops up as relevant every, like, few hundred episodes.
It's wild.
Like, every few hundred episodes, something that you never in a million years would have even batted your eye at, it turns out to be, like, super important.
I mean, I just got into the 770s, and I literally told you, like, I just passed an episode that literally feeds right back into Skypiea.
Yeah, and I'm in the 960s.
And you got into the
900s,
and you were like, same thing, dude. So, yeah, it's insane how these were, what, episodes in the 150s to, like, 180s or something? Like,
were,
but here's another thing.
153 to 195 for comparison.
So, like, yeah.
But that this mystery person, again, it ties into that belief, that kind of, that faith, that kind of, like, that mystery kind of there. Mm-hmm. Like, do I believe what I saw? Did it really happen how I thought I saw it? Do I believe what I saw? Did it happen? And why did it happen? And, you know, we're talking people literally calling themselves gods. We're literally in the heavens. Right. You know, like, it's, I think that's really clever stuff for it to have happened at that point. Because that story didn't have to happen in this arc. That could have been another situation. But to put it in that, I thought was really, really clever. Because it fits right.
Well, it fits in the idea, too, that Mary was on a sacrificial altar. So it was already on an altar used for the idea of, like, supernatural blessings, I guess you would say, or religious blessings. And so the idea that that was there and not knowing what that is, because One Piece has always done this really good job of otherworldly things being brought down to, like, a surface level of understanding. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like powers, devil fruits, and you know, their mantra and things like that. In this, it makes the non-understandable very, like, understandable, right?
Humanizes things quite well.
Yeah, it takes the mystery off of a lot of the things. So, like, adding, like, a mystery where you're now like, okay, what the hell? it makes it seem like, well, maybe there is more to the world than just like just straight up understanding, like everything has a reason, everything has an explanation, right? Like maybe there is something like a little extra to everything now.
I also love the fact that that was an Usopp thing as well, because yeah. of all the characters, you would think talks the most shit, you know, like,
yep.
and also made the comment about, you know, this thing doesn't go without me kind of thing happening to them. It was almost perfect. It could, if it happens to anyone else, it's still a great moment, but Usopp was perfect, I think.
Well, I mean, it's like someone kissing your girlfriend in front of you, right? Like he's the one that fixes the Mary, and now someone else is doing it right in front of him.
Yep.
That he doesn't know who it is, right?
Yeah,
and
it's just like this
person. He's the dude in yeah. he's the dude sitting in the chair in the corner having the cigarette.
Yeah, yeah. He's just seeing the burning cherry of a cigarette.
Filming. No, just...
And then the Chad of Chad arrives. Wiper, who I am so upset that we will probably never see again. Like that dude.
I hope we do somehow.
I do
man.
Too, but like he is so fucking dope. Like, you know, his introduction, like he's kind of a prick, right? He's bitching about, oh, give me the Verth, get it out of here. Like, we need to, like, understandably so, right? He's just pissed off. You know, he's like, ancestors right. are like weighing on him. But like the way that, you know, the Straw Hats go out. They fall into the string ordeal, right? Shura, the dude who took who defeated Chopper and Gonfor and fucked the Mary up that bad, and Wiper just shows up and is just like, bah! With the thing that we find out could kill you. And it's like, oh, this dude's not playing. Like, he's ready to die. Like, they just started, and he took down one of the biggest
dudes. That was the ultimate hold my beer moment, I think. Mm-hmm. You know, that was just like, yeah. But then also, in comparison, that guy also goes on to be the I didn't hear no bell guy as well. Because he gets his fair share of beatings later on as well. You know, like, he doesn't work out, you know, but it just goes to show that, like, someone that is introduced, and you think, fuck, we've got a big lad on our team now. You know, like, you know, it just goes to show you that, like, that power was kind of, because it's one of those moments where, like, we're used to receiving that, like you said,
mm-hmm.
and now all of a sudden, it's just, absolute Chad.
Mm-hmm. And that's when kind of all hell breaks loose, right? Like, the 50 divine soldiers get released, Yama gets released, and Nell predicts that there will only be 5 people left. Like, it is literally just Battle Royale, and he's just like,
yeah,
5.
Well, we also get like right after around that too with the ship scene and Wiper as well. It's like when we first get that first look at Enolra Nehru, whatever you want to call him, right? And he's just like vibing on the couch.
Yep.
He's just chilling. His introduction.
Yeah, just letting
him
hang out, bro.
Well, it's so chill, right? Because it's like you have this guy, right? He like catches his 3 vassals off guard, like kicks the shit out of them. Like, and it's like, oh, these are the people that, like, you know, the Straw Hats were just struggling against. He's just clapping them like they're nothing. And he's over here sitting.
Right.
Give my great.
It kind of gave me Arlong vibes with that kind of that kind of, you know, that kind of chill kind of like dumb like mentality, you know.
Like I'm on my throne, like.
But yeah, but he believes in his own god, you know, like he what he's buying into isn't just a title. Like
he
is
Kool-Aid. Like dude, yeah.
Oh yeah.
So panel, definitely something that was not in the anime that I want to address. Just because I feel like it really shows how strong these divine soldiers are, right? You know, they're going in, they're fighting back, the divine soldiers come up, and he jumps up against the dude with the shield and uses the axe dial and legit cuts him in half.
Dude, that's so
like,
clean.
Like, the panel literally shows half a body, and I'm like, oh my god, like, dude, Jesus, they are not holding back. And that's, like, the biggest thing I've noticed, dude. The manga is so much more brutal than the anime.
Yes. Like we've proven time and time again the manga's very much not afraid and I guess Oda himself you know we give One Piece crap sometimes or you know in a joking sense of like they're very much afraid to kill anybody off where it seems like you know it's still kind of in the manga but they are very much willing to be a lot more violent
so feels it's the less idea like, that oh no one dies it's like oh no they do. It's
no, just, there's no doubt in that one. Like, no conversation.
That's all. They don't die. They just get dismembered.
I mean, yeah, it's cut in half. Like, if they live, they're not going to want to. So,
And then our girl Robin.
Yo, her Robin's journey.
Flexing. Robin, also just shows how strong she is, dude.
Yep.
Like, just absolutely obliterating these divine soldiers who we literally just saw murder. I don't even know how many people. You know what I mean? Like, cutting people in half, and she's just like...
Snap. Snap.
Yep.
Clutch.
Mm-hmm.
And like I will say, too, is this the first time she mentions the 100-year gap in history?
Yes.
It is.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. But this is okay, interesting because, obviously, you know, we've only really just kind of had her. We've kind of... Zoro is a little bit on the fence with her. In this arc, she's very much a part of the gang, but kind of very much, unlike them, doing their own
distance,
thing.
Yeah, you she's know, off on her own.
Ulterior motive sounds bad, but the motivation isn't the same as the rest.
Mm-hmm.
And she'll help. She'll help when she has to, but
she's got her own quest.
Well, I mean, she has a literal piece of history right here that needs to be explored and needs to be found out about. So it's like, you know, while the other one, it would be as though like Luffy finally made it to the island to become Pirate King. Like this is her island, right? Like this is like, she is in her element at this point because it's like walking into a museum.
400-year-old museum. That no one else knows exists.
Okay, yeah. They have so many drops about it. It's insane.
Like, dude, I can't remember how many panels it was, but it was literally like Robin back to back to back to back just for going on her own like little journey, writing stuff down.
Yeah, trust me. That's the second half. We're about to.
There's a lot of theories about that. I'm not sure, like. It'd be interesting talking to you guys about it because I don't know what, obviously you won't tell me what you guys know. And I don't want you to, but like there's so much that on surface level when you're reading this, you're like a void in time, a fucking, we'll get to it.
There's things that we know that we definitely cannot tell you because you'll eventually get there.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
We also have Zoro's fight with the beanie guy. I'm forgetting his name. Which is a pretty intense fight, you know, because of the dials and whatnot. But seeing Zoro use like the ranged attack,
yeah,
right. We see him use the which one did he use? The 36-pound Phoenix.
Or 36.
Yeah, I think he used a 100-pound one later.
Which I didn't realize that's based off of in the SBS. It's based off the size of cannons.
Oh, interesting.
So,
okay.
Yeah, that was like the size of the guns.
And he said, "You have guns. I have cannons." So I guess that does make sense. Huh, that's crazy.
It actually makes sense now. Jesus. Mm-hmm.
And from here on out, and honestly, I think this might be the best midway point, honestly, looking at like this next chapter where we're at, this might be a good point to leave it off, is after Zoro wins his fight, right, the other vassal shows up where Chopper is, the dude who is just like, I don't think he's all there.
Datsu.
Yeah, he's a funny dude, but he's not
all
there.
He's the most likable one of all of them, I think.
Mm-hmm.
The eyes really
are stupid.
You know, and we're kind of like riding on this high, right? Like, Satori got taken down. Zoro just overcame his fight. Like, Chopper's kind of in a crappy situation with this dude, but he's...
Nami beat the shit out of the Satori twins or whatever. Like, his other brothers or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm. But it cuts right to the page of just Sanji cooked. Just Enel shows up and just cooks Sanji fucking immediately after, like, calls out Gonfor, cooks Usopp, like, and then just gives Nami's, like, shut up.
This isn't the 5 minute moment, is it?
The what?
That there's a minute where Enel says, you have 5 minutes, do your best. This isn't that moment, right?
No, this is literally, so it goes from Zoro's fight, and then like they show that the dude is near Chopper, and then literally the very next panel is them screaming Sanji on the Merry, and then you just see Sanji on the ground. Like it's just Enel shows up and just absolutely obliterates them, which we
might
find out it was because Sanji attacked him. But
yeah,
you know,
I feel like in the anime, didn't he like pop up and then it kept like cut away or something?
I think so. Like, I think they teased it like beforehand.
Yeah. I genuinely can't remember, though.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like that in my brain, it happened. Usopp,
he just takes him down with a finger. He just touches his head. And just...
Dude, poor Usopp.
And it's just like, I feel like that's the turning point, right? Because he shows up. He's talking about how everybody's fighting for Shandora, for the El Dorado. Yeah. You know, he obliterates the two of them, talks a little bit of shit to Gonfor, and then he just dips.
The El Dorado thing is another part of that kind of Indiana Jones kind of belief. There's this mythical place that, you know, people died saying existed, you know? And that's what the God, the belief, the faith thing is so big in Skypiea that it's just, it's crazy. It's just like, it's so emphasized, you know?
It's so interesting because, like, at this point, you also see the beanstalk, right? I'm not mistaken.
I believe
you
so.
You also get to see the beanstalk. So at that point, that's when you can connect everything. Like, okay, heaven, beanstalk, El Dorado, like, the theme, with a theme that Oda was really going for here, you know, is like, like really fantasy. And
well, with the Aniru stuff too, I appreciate like the bad guys in One Piece, because Crocodile kind of did the same thing where it's like, they don't have to explain that they're bad guys and they don't have to explain that they're powerful. They'll literally just show up, kick your ass, and then kind of leave. And like it's not even like, you can call it a flex, but they're not even flexing. They're literally just being like, all right, I'll be back in 5 minutes. And, you know, it's like when you'll see me again when five are left.
Eneru does flex at one point, though.
Yes, he does.
Like, a major flex. But,
Yeah, no, I was flipping through it. We're just going to go to 264, which is basically the rest of this volume. I was like flipping through it. I'm like, okay, that is a better stopping point. Because immediately after that, it cuts to the Luffy Wiper fight, which is absolutely just absolute chaos. Because Wiper is insane, dude. Like, this dude in this determination, like, I cannot imagine this dude as a pirate on the Blue Sea. I mean, he's
got Zoro levels. Like, honestly, it feels like it's Zoro levels of 100% just being able to push himself.
I would have loved to see him and Zoro duke it out.
Right?
You know?
That feels like it's the perfect fight, that one, you know, almost.
Yeah, well, because Luffy's just kind of stumbling around. Like, it's not even really a real fight, right? Like, they clash for a bit. Like, Luffy gets deflected because of the things. He's using the burn bazooka. Like, you know, he's dodging, weaving, and then he just gets eaten.
Well, I mean,
he doesn't even get to actually fight him, really.
You know, Wiper has you know, not only the motivation factor of, like, he's trying to reclaim the land that was, like, you know, originally theirs, but it's also he's trying to live up to the ideal of, like, what kind of warrior Calgaro was.
Right.
And so it's kind of like this twofold thing, right? Like, not only does he have to be a leader to these people in an unwavering resolve of trying to get their homeland back, but also, like, trying to live up to what is a mythical warrior with a giant ass statue right outside of his home, right? Where it's you know, kind of getting to what you once were while, you know, everything working against you.
At this stage, have we had that major flashback yet of Calgara's backstory?
No, that's like the second half.
It's like the last.
That's like its own volume, dude. Like, that was that is like now one of my favorite volumes of all of One Piece.
After Luffy gets eaten, though, we do start to see it, right? Like, Yama shows up, he takes down Wiper's dude pretty easily. Yep. And then we cut to kind of Robin finding it, and we start to get some information. She says the year 402 of Kane or Kyan, I don't know how it's pronounced. The city thrived over 1,100 years ago, and it was destroyed 800 years ago. And then she specifies it falls right into the 100-year gap in the history of the world. Perhaps this island holds the secrets of the unspoken history that the land below has ceased to talk about. And that's like the first. It's like,
damn it, Robin.
What? Hold up. What are you talking about? Right? Because I don't know if we've heard about the 100-year.
We didn't know anything about a 100-year gap at all at this point, until this point.
You know, so it gets there. Yama shows up. So it's like, damn, all right, she's going to have to tell Yama, the dude who just took down Wiper's boys. And then Satori's brothers show up and get their asses beat by Nami and Gonfor. And that's all that really matters about them, because they suck.
Yeah,
they're just worst versions of Satori.
Yes.
And then
the fact that he just kept farting in her face, like, irritated me, though.
Yeah, I was like, bro, I remember when it popped up in the anime, I was like, please don't be as long a fight as, like, the Satori fight, because I don't need more of that. Like, I was very much done with him at that point, so I'm glad that one kind of happened quickly.
Like, comic relief, but even worse.
We talk about the percentages.
I think after the Aniru stuff, like, it needed to be quick.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. So, like, you remember the challenges, right? It was like, what, the string challenge, I think, was like a 3% survival
ball,
rate.
Iron.
And ball was like, I think, 10% or something like that. And the swap challenge, like 50%. He's like, it's like 50-50. Either you get caught or I get caught. One of the two happens. I don't know.
Or stupid Gadatsu, dude. Like, man doesn't even remember to breathe, which I understand sometimes,
though.
But
Although I would have loved for Chopper to actually be able to fight him and not have to just like panic until he defeats himself.
Sometimes that's what you gotta do against really strong opponents, though. You just gotta let them defeat themselves.
I mean, like flicking through this, it literally is. Like, it's Chopper pretty much just running away, and man's just missing consistently. Like, literally the whole thing.
He hit the other dude, didn't he, at one point in time?
Yeah, like he hit the other dude, and then Chopper, like, saved him, and then he helps Chopper.
Yep, he helped Chopper, and then he kills that guy, and then he just can't complete the mission after that.
Mm-hmm. But Chopper does get him with the Cloven Cross and finally like actually does take him down in that final blast. Yeah. Like most of the fight is him rolling around, running around and just kind of like avoiding death.
That's because he took his shoe. Like he took his shoe and the dude went to blast off and didn't realize he was shoeless.
Yeah. The fight, dude, was ridiculous. It was one of the most ridiculous fights, but like I love this moment where Chopper is just like, at last, now I'm a real pirate. Right? It's like he barely did it, but he's so proud.
I think
proud
I enjoyed
himself.
That fight in the anime more just because it was.
Because you have Chopper
so
screaming
silly.
Like a lunatic for every time he's on screen.
Yep.
And then here it is, the flex you were talking about, where they're like talking shit, and Eneru shows up, and he's like, all right, give it your best shot. I won't move.
Oh, for 5 minutes.
Yep. He's like, I'll show you how futile it is. And he just sits there and lets them attack him for five minutes.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Like when they like stabbing through the head, right?
Yep. Yeah. Yep. I mean, think about it. Imagine trying to fight that way, right? Like, imagine trying to pull that off.
Well, because are the sky people aware that it's a devil fruit that he has?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so. They just see him as an invisible god.
They just see him as an invisible god. They don't actually know that it's a devil fruit. Because it's like, bro, you have all the sea prism stone around you. Make a weapon.
Well, I mean, it's like anything else, too. Like any kind of village or tribe or you know, that doesn't know anything outside of itself. Like they see something else. What are you going to expect it is, right? Yeah. Like your first thought isn't going to be something that explains it right away in a regular manner. Yeah, you're going to think
it's a great way to make people just capitulate around you. If you see that and you're like, fucking hell, I've got no chance. Your spirit is broken at that point.
Yeah.
And you've already lost that fight. Even
how
if
do
you
compete against that?
Yeah, exactly.
Have they told us, because they kind of glossed over where Eneru came from, but have they actually told us where he came from?
Yeah.
Or how, like,
I don't remember the name. He lived on another sky
city.
Island. And
what they said. They lived. Mm-hmm. He lived on another sky island, but, like, I want to know how he got a hold of that fruit in the first place.
They never
explained that. Whole thing. Because it's like, if he lived on a sky island, how did he get a hold of that devil fruit?
I don't know.
It's just like saying, like, how Luffy ate the gum fruit, right? It just happened, he ate it. Yeah.
Well, but what I'm saying is like it's being on a sky island. Obviously, the only stuff that you're going to get access to is stuff that's shot up through the knockup stream.
Yeah. So yeah, either something's been brought up there, or he's traveled down at some point.
You know what I mean? Like how else would he?
I mean, the way Skypiea keeps getting wrapped back to, maybe that's a story later on.
Maybe we'll find out at some point.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we may not actually be done with Eneru.
Mm-hmm. You know, like we said, the Satori fight, man, Nami puts on an iron glove and obliterates him. That's all you need to know. But Robin's fight with Yama, man. Seeing Robin finally like really go all out and like use her abilities.
Angry.
Like she was, and she took a beating too, but she beat that ass, dude. Like, and she, cause you got to remember too, right? She was not able to go all out. Because she was paranoid that the things were getting destroyed. Like, she was actively trying to lure him out of the way so that they wouldn't damage, like,
the
city.
That's literally what got her convinced to actually just take him out, though, is that he kept ruining everything. So it's like, well, I either knock this dude out now or he's literally going to destroy this history.
Mm-hmm.
Also, just for context, the size, I've just checked to see the height. He's 12 foot.
He's 12 foot.
Who is it?
Yeah,
now?
12 way
foot.
Bigger.
Shit.
Dude, people in One Piece are big, dude. They really are.
He was in a couple of ways, to be fair, that dude.
Mm-hmm.
True.
Not that I can talk shit. I'm growing both width ways too, but yeah, that dude got it. And she had to go for a bit to get to him as well, if you know what I mean.
And dude, like the conclusion of volume 28, right? So it cuts from Robin's fight. It doesn't finish. It cuts to the scene of them stabbing Eneru through his head. Him frying him while he's still in his head. Using his Vari attack, and then him like sensing and then being like, the electricity has reached the Milky Road. What a pity. The discharge silenced 20 voices. He killed 20 people in that one blast.
Yeah.
And then it goes through this like thing, right? It's just Upper Yard, the survival game where there were 81 fighters to start. Time passed 2 hours. 56 have fallen. Of the Kami forces, 13 remain. Of the Shandians, 7 still stand. Which is glorious because, like, out of all these images, everybody looks so intense, and Zoro's just eating and like shooing away a Southbird. and of the Straw Hat crew, 5 are left. Total number left standing, 25. And Luffy's just chilling inside the snake, looking at treasure.
Yeah.
And then boom, that's how they're like coming next volume.
Yes. Yep.
And it's just absolute chaos breaks out from there, which I think is probably like a really good stopping point for the half. It's about the halfway point.
Yeah, and I feel like that second half just goes from Zero to Wesley Snipes like quickly. Mm-hmm. Perfect. I feel like because everything in that is such a good setup for what's to come, you know. Mm-hmm. And you've had a taste of it, and you know, like you said, 20 of them felt that with Eneru just in that one moment. So
mm-hmm.
Yeah,
so that was chapters 237 to 264, the first half Venny's Lobby. That's no, the first half of Skypiea. Whatever, you know what I mean. But
people are gonna be reading real confused.
Like I said, we won't be having a spoiler discussion at the end of this episode because it's a split arc, and it just makes more sense to do it. So make sure you stay tuned for the next podcast episode. We're gonna be doing it right after this with Alonzi, diving into it. And, you know, if you don't want to wait for the next episode, you want to get it early, swing over to the Patreon at patreon.com/NaiNoAnime. Get episode 2 early, and, it's going to be a blast.
Come.
And be sure to check out Alonzi. He's making his way through One Piece. He does a bunch of stuff on his channel, at Alonzi. The link will be in the description box below. He also has a group channel called Project Senpai, so go check that out, too. All links for those will be below. And if you want the full episode, it's on Spotify. There is video there. You don't have to just listen to us. You can see our beautiful faces if you really care.
The full episode. The full episode.
We'll see you next time for chapters 265 to 302.